With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're listening to the Armchair Cricket Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of the Armchair Cricket Podcast, a podcast focusing on Test cricket by armchair critics of the game. I'm your host, Giri, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Ajit. So let me welcome him firstly. Hello, Mr. Ajit. How are you doing?
Hi, Giri. I'm doing good. Well, I mean, it's nice to be able to record another episode. It's been a while, but not a lot of cricket has been going on. How's life treating you?
Not too bad. Although I wish I could do a bit more outside. Apart from groceries, I'm not doing anything. So I'm not stepping out for anything else. So I've been also quite busy the last few days. A lot of work, which is in a way good, I think, because it keeps you occupied, keeps your brain ticking. Mm-hmm. Just to keep our minds off these distractions that we have. All around the world, it's continuing to affect the world, this COVID-19 coronavirus. Mm-hmm. Every day we hear a huge number of people getting infected or some fatalities being announced by all countries. It's not a nice thing, but I hope that all this will turn around and then we'll see light at the end of the tunnel soon enough. I don't know if we have already hit the peak or if we are waiting for the peak to be hit. But at least in the Netherlands, we just had a press conference by the Prime Minister today. I'm not sure if you followed it. So
yeah, I've read the highlights indeed. Yeah.
So just to sum it up, they are announcing, or they have already announced, relaxation in the guidelines that were issued. Earlier, I think that we were under something called intelligent lockdown, where the citizens behave responsibly. They don't step outside. They don't get involved in group events and all that. Schools closed. But now they are trying to return the country to normal. So firstly, the schools will be opened in the second week of May, I heard, or the primary schools.
Right.
So the kids will start going to school. And I heard it's not full-fledged school hours. It will only be half a day or something. I'm still waiting to hear what the actual details will be. I think the school organizations will announce that. And apart from that, of course, the other things still remain. You have to maintain a distance of 1.5 meters from each other. You're advised to work from home until further notice, if your job allows it, of course. Mm-hmm. So these measures will continue until the 20th of May, we heard. But at least it's a good thing that the kids can start going to school because it's very difficult to contain them within four walls, because it's also not a nice thing for kids. Even for us, it's very difficult as adults. And for kids, they need to spend more time outside and have an active social life, you know, play and all that. So let's see how it goes. I think it's early days yet. The numbers are improving in the Netherlands. So we are seeing a decreasing trend. So touch wood, it continues like that. And then we'll see the end of coronavirus soon enough, at least some control over it. How is it over there in your neck of the woods?
Well, not a lot is different. As you say, this has become the new normal. I was just looking at these numbers while we were discussing this. Maybe we should actually measure the time between our episodes in the number of new infections of corona rather than in days, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been more than a million infections ago that we did the previous episode, Giri.
Wow.
So this is one way of probably measuring. You know, it's sort of a macabre thing to say or macabre thing to mention, but it's, you know, it's also another way of probably letting our viewers know where we are in time. If, you know, if this were to become a time capsule that somebody who survived this this specific pandemic is able to listen a few hundred years down the line. Do you think that's a good idea?
Yeah, I think so.
Right. So, yeah. As I said, our previous episode, when we did it, there were about 1,200,000 infected patients across the world. Now it's nearly doubled, right? So that's a very interesting statistic as well, when we look at the spread of the disease across the world. But coming specifically to my neck of the woods, well, it's becoming the new normal. People are more or less used to staying and working from home. We don't see any willful breaking of the, as you say, the intelligent lockdown that the government has actually, you know, asked us all to follow. And all the hoarding is gone. There is no more panic buying. People do buy a lot simply because, you know, it's the entire family sitting at home all day long. And you don't just sit at home. You feel like munching something. So a lot of food is being bought. I also read some interesting statistic, Giri. I don't know if you have experienced any of it personally. So apparently the alcohol consumption worldwide has seen an increase from last March to this March. And at least in certain regions of the world, there is a drastic marked increase in alcohol consumption. Did you also notice this at all?
I don't pay attention to these things because I'm a teetotaler. So I don't really care.
Oh, right. All right. Well, some of us are not that fastidious about these things. And let's say some of us have a bit of vodka and obviously in the morning, you know, something to get you going. Yeah, it's each on his own. So if any of my bosses are listening to this, that's not what I do. But, something to keep you going, right? I remember in one specific work meeting, it was around 2:30 and it was very informal. And somebody asked, who are all having a glass of something? Well, let's be open, it's fine. And there were a few people who said yes. That was an interesting thing. 2:30 in the afternoon, some people were already beginning their, imbibing the libations, whatever they might be used to, right? So it was an interesting meeting as well. So, you know, as I said, interesting times. But all in all, you know, to not make it too much of a lightweight thing to talk about, simply because given how things are, we are in a very nicely placed way that, you know, we are able to earn for ourselves and eat in spite of these things. And, you know, maybe also a word to those that are unlucky. So we wish them all the best and, you know, things will turn around quickly. And we just need to keep the faith, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, in terms of another blow, it looks like your favorite time of the year, Oktoberfest, has been cancelled this year, Giri.
Is that my favorite time of the year? When did I say
At least it was last year.
No, I never said that.
You haven't? No. At least I might have read it between the lines, you know, but depending on how, I don't know, how enthusiastic you are.
Nah, I'm kidding, but it's not really my favorite time of the year anyway. But one of the main events of the year, I think Oktoberfest in Munich has been cancelled this year.
Right.
So a lot of sober people in the city, I think, and less tourists, I guess, during that time of the year. Indeed. It's a strange thing, but I think we have been, you know, talking about it for quite a while in the last few episodes about IPL, and finally a decision has been arrived at.
Right.
And did you hear what they decided to do?
Well, it has been postponed indefinitely, as should have been the case earlier, right, Giri?
I'm really surprised. Really shocked me actually that they decided to postpone it now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at least, but jokes apart, I think that's the right call. They cannot play cricket behind closed doors, even if it was just for television audience. Mm-hmm. They would still need people traveling from across the world, right? So you have some foreign players.
Right.
And even otherwise, the commuting within the country itself, within India, that would also be a problem because people would have to travel. That would mean breaking of the rules in the lockdown situation. And that would definitely not be feasible, even if you are given special permission to do so. It would be unfair on other people who are actually struggling to make a living.
Indeed.
So all these things should take a backseat. Like our Prime Minister, Netherlands Prime Minister today announced, mm-hmm. he said something like, Volksgezondheid is echt belangrijk, is eerst. That's something he said. That means
right.
the public health is of prime importance at this time. Mm-hmm. Nothing else matters.
Right.
So I think the right call has been made. It should have been done much earlier, but it's good to see that people have been, you know, thinking and in the end decided to put it off for the time being.
Right. I mean, look, from purely a logistical perspective, it would have been a nightmare, even if you wanted to hold it behind the closed doors, as you said it. And of course, one of the main things that is really important for a tournament like IPL is the crowds. And maybe without that, it's really not a very good idea to hold it behind closed doors, right? So I think in the end, the right decision has been reached, even if it took a few weeks coming. But I think in the end, that is the right decision, right? So and when you look at which other time in the year the tournament can actually be hosted, not a lot of other windows are available. So, you know, indefinitely is probably the right way as well. You cannot say, let's look at October, let's look at December, you know. It's not that simple. So I guess given all the conditions and given how it places itself in the cricketing calendar, it's the right thing to really postpone IPL. And so the right decision has been made. It's going to set back BCCI as well as a lot of other earning avenues that would have been open during those times. But as you say, first there is life and then there can be sport. Indeed. Well, I mean, there is another way of looking at it that when there is a lot of pain around you, a bit of sport can alleviate that. But maybe I think we are beyond that at this stage. I think it's about livelihood and life mm-hmm. before anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the IPL news that we have heard, does it also mean it will basically draw curtains on two illustrious careers? Can you name them?
I'm now thinking who's the second one. First one I can think of already.
Yeah.
It's MS Dhoni, right?
Yeah.
I wonder who the second is. An interesting point, Giri.
Who was planning to make a comeback into T20 internationals, or who was probably on the verge of making a comeback, if you were to believe the team's coach, Mark Boucher.
Ah, you're talking of AB de Villiers.
Yeah, this would be his last chance, right? Or how old is he now?
Yeah, he's 36, I think.
36? Yeah, but the window will be missed, right? So if the T20 World Cup mm-hmm. goes on in October mm-hmm. like it's been planned, mm-hmm. and there is no IPL until then, would he have enough practice time before that?
This will also depend on the other T20 leagues that have been planned between the IPL and the World Cup, right? So there is I think England has both the T20 Blast and the 100.
Yeah.
And from what I've heard, one of those two will go on. It starts late enough in the summer that they can somehow pull it off sometime in July.
Right.
So he might still get a chance to prove himself, but it's definitely putting a bit more mm-hmm. pressure on him when it comes to AB de Villiers. But when it comes to MS Dhoni, you're absolutely right. Given that BCCI does not permit its players to go play in the other leagues, his career may very well be over. You're absolutely right. So, I mean, look, to be frank with you, there was a lot of conflicting messages around his career and his availability for the Indian team in the last October, November onwards. But there was once or twice I heard a couple of things. I think MSK Prasad, who was the chief selector, then said, you know what, we have made a decision on this, he's not going to play, or something to that effect. And also he said another thing, he has communicated to the people that need to know very clearly what is in his mind. I have a feeling this decision was arrived at already previously. Okay. So the rest is just a bit of hemming and hawing and the let's say the fans not being able to accept it. Or maybe some people in the team may still want him to play. Like I've heard Ravi Shastri give a couple of interesting and conflicting statements. So I don't know about that. But all in all, I somehow think his career was already finished and he knew it. And those that needed to know it were already made aware of this.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, but on the bright side, it gives us a lot of fuel to talk, you know, deal with. So we can talk about this for days together. Mm-hmm. In every episode,
right?
Inevitably, until we keep talking about IPL and T20 World Cup, I think his name will keep popping up. And let's see. I think we've been too harsh on him, I guess. But yeah, he has to choose. If he has to choose a moment, then this probably is it. Like I've been saying,
yeah,
over the last few months. I don't know if the situation will change for him. Maybe he has made up his mind. He just wants to communicate it, and he's being blocked. But Sourav Ganguly, interestingly, said a few weeks ago, or maybe even during probably the beginning of the year, he said something like, there is absolute clarity about the MS Dhoni situation. And I don't know what absolute clarity is.
Right.
At least we are not privy to that. So let's see, man. I think we should move on to something else. Talk too much about Dhoni.
Well, I mean, he deserves all the talk about him. But it's also, as I said, time to let somebody ride into the sunset, right? In this case, it looks like, you know, many counties are sort of tightening their belt, given that there will be a very reduced county season, right? And that means people like Cheteshwar Pujara, who was going to play the first 7 games for Gloucestershire, has lost his chance. So he's not the only one. There are plenty, like Michael Nasser's contract with Surrey will probably have to be postponed. There are quite a few people who have lost out on a chance to, you know, probably get some cricket in the summer. So especially those that normally don't get to play multiple formats for their countries, they would look forward to these sort of windows where they are able to go play in a different, you know, different league and maybe hone their skills, if not improve them, and so on and so on. So if you remember, Marnus Labuschagne, he was able to make very good use of the starting part of the English county calendar and then make a comeback to, or join the Australian team, and then he's never looked back, right? So in some cases, careers are made that way. So we don't know who has missed out in this specific case or who has missed out on a comeback, but there'll definitely be some cascading effect on cricketers' careers, just like how we discussed what happened with MS Dhoni or AB de Villiers. There'd be other cricketers who've not retired or who are not on the verge of retirement who would still face such a impact. Right, Giri?
Yeah. It would be their last chance saloon, for some of them at least, yeah.
Look, it's not just the county season, right? So even international tournaments or cricket tournaments or cricket series have been postponed. So for example, there is Bangladesh-Australia series that has been postponed. This was set to happen in June. This has been postponed, mm-hmm. right? Also, when you look at the number of matches that some team like Zimbabwe has lost out, it's a big deal, right? Because they had quite a lot of fixtures, especially they were going to play against Bangladesh, they were going to play against Ireland, right? They were also going to tour Netherlands as well and maybe play a few matches here. So that means quite a lot of cricket has been lost for somebody like Bangladesh and as well as Zimbabwe. That means it's not a nice thing. So especially for a up-and-coming country or a country that's been struggling to meet the international standards, that would be a big blow. So, you know, sometimes, as you say, cricket careers may end, but also some teams may struggle to come out of this. Even well-established cricketers like Babar Azam were saying the same thing. I don't know how it will be once I come out. Maybe I'm expecting I'll be a bit rusty. The basic skills will be there, but then, you know, even cricketers, established cricketers, are a bit worried how they're going to keep up with the, you know, the gap in the cricketing calendar. This unexpected, it's nice. Spending time with family is a positive, but there are negatives. Right, Giri?
Yeah, but I think that's also true with all other sports. Huh?
Indeed.
I just read an article about tennis players. You know, I think this was an interesting article because they were saying when the sport returns to the world, whatever sport it might be tennis or cricket, the players would be advised to take the vaccine, coronavirus vaccine. I don't know if you read about this. Apparently, Novak Djokovic, one of the leading players in the men's arena, he's against taking vaccines for any of any kind, for that matter.
Ah, interesting.
And he apparently said that without the vaccine, he may not be allowed to play.
Uh-huh.
And he would probably have to take a tough call. He's a firm believer in not taking any kind of vaccination or even inoculation. I think maybe he was not vaccinated even as a kid.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So he's been probably brought up in that way. I might be wrong, but this is at least the gist of what I read.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to see how the world will come back, the sport world. It's very strange. And I think the vaccine itself will not be ready for at least until the beginning of next year, because I read that they need nearly a year to develop an effective vaccine or antidote, whatever it is.
Indeed.
So, yeah, I mean, every sports person will have difficulty in getting back to the arena again and then, you know, going back to their previous best.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good that they can rest their bodies, but they would also be itching to go. Real professional cricketers or sports people, I think they would really like to come back as soon as possible. And all of us as well. So all us true cricket fans would also like to see cricket back out there. But yeah, not at the cost of lives, not at the cost of human lives. No.
Agreed. Yeah, but interesting point you brought up about vaccination. I mean, probably I should park it because I have some interesting thoughts about it myself. But going forward, you know, Zafar Sarfraz, a former Pakistan first-class cricketer, is reported as the first casualty from the cricketing world or those that were associated with cricket, apart from the Lancashire chairman that we spoke about in the last episode, right? So he's lost his life. He was 50 and COVID-19 has claimed a cricketer. Right, so we offer sympathies and we also offer condolences to his family and friends.
May his soul rest in peace.
So, also, you know, when you look at it, cricketers are able to do a bit for COVID-19 victims. For example, Rahul is putting up his 2019 World Cup bat for auction, you know, and Mushfiqur Rahim is putting up for auction the bat that he used to score a double 100 in 2013 versus Sri Lanka in Galle. So, this is one of the things that's very interesting because Josh Butler also raised more than £65,000 by auctioning off his World Cup jersey for the same cause. So this is a very nice gesture by cricketers. So, you know, cricketers are also looked up to as people in the society who are, you know, looked upon as positive role models. So this is a very nice, very nice gesture from many cricketers around the world. So we would like to say thank you to these cricketers. And maybe more people can learn and more people can follow their example, Kiri.
Absolutely. Not just cricketers. Huh? I was reading this interesting bit of news that a former World War veteran, Captain Tom Moore in UK. Uh-huh. Did you hear about him?
Oh, yeah.
He's a 99-year-old former veteran, army veteran.
Yeah.
And he planned to walk 100 rounds in his backyard, 100 laps rather, before his 100th birthday, which is, I think, quite soon. In a few days, he will be celebrating his 100th birthday.
Right.
And with 100 laps, he planned to raise something in the region of 1,000 or 1,500 pounds.
Yep.
But it became so famous and so viral, this initiative, that everybody started pouring in their money and they helped grow this kitty to help, you know, people who are working in the NHS and also to help people who are suffering from coronavirus.
Right.
And he has at this moment raised, I think, more than 15 million pounds or something.
Indeed.
Can you imagine that?
I can totally imagine that. It's more like a feel-good story. These are the real feel-good stories to come out of these trying times, let me put it like that, Kiri.
Absolutely.
A 99-year-old, this is definitely something he'll be remembered by, no matter when his time comes, right? Long may us all hope that he goes on. But, you know, well played, sir. 99, not out.
On the verge of 100. See, he will soon complete his century as well. So he is still fit as a fiddle. I saw a small video of him walking around. He needs some support to walk around, but he's still independent.
Indeed.
Very energetic.
Wow. It's a real inspirational story, Giri. Thanks for narrating it on the podcast episode. I hope, you know, every one of us who's also listening to it goes out there and does our bit. Right? So going forward, yeah, there have been a bunch of retro lives going on, Giri. So the last one I really gave any attempt at following was the India versus Pakistan retro live. That was the 1996 World Cup quarterfinal that was played on Quick Info as well as simultaneously on Star Sports. Were you able to catch this match at all?
Yeah, I saw it back in 1996, growing up.
Ah.
No, I did. I did that as well. I still remember. I think I remember that match in great detail. It was such a nice match. I still remember Ajay Jadeja hitting for a six straight down the ground. And Venkatesh Prasad dismissing Amir Sohail. That was a sight for the gods. I think I also may have mentioned this in one of our previous episodes. It was Javed Miandad's last match.
Mm-hmm.
He scored 38 runs in that match. And he retired as a 38-year-old. So I remember that as well. But it was such an amazing match. It was electrifying atmosphere. I wasn't there in the ground.
Right.
Although I was in close by, I was not fortunate enough to watch that match live. But I whenever I get a chance, I follow these highlights or ball by ball. In fact, this was very good. I also happened to catch another match between India and Pakistan from 2011 World Cup. Mohali, I think it was played at Mohali. I also watched that. And there was also a replay of 2003
World Cup match.
The match between World Cup match in South Africa.
Right.
You remember, I think Sachin Tendulkar got out in the 90s.
Yeah. I think he attacked Shoaib Akhtar's very first over. And yeah, that's also a classic.
The uppercut for a six. So I remember that. And then I think a couple of days ago, I watched a retro live of India against England from the 2011 World Cup. It was a tied match. Do you remember?
Yes.
Andrew Strauss almost won it for them. And then England lost their way towards the end.
Yeah, it was 100, right? He scored 100, I remember.
150 out.
Also, was it not in Bangalore?
Yes, it was in Bangalore. And the then Chief Minister, Mr. Yediyurappa, was there to present the Man of the Match trophy. I remember that. So it was a fantastic match. All these matches were very
good. Wait. Wasn't he Yediyurappa then? Now he's Yediyurappa, isn't it? There's been some change to the spelling, if I'm not wrong.
I think his name remains the same. If you talk about the native language, Kannada, that we all speak.
Yeah.
There it's still Yediyurappa, and in English, for some reason, he has, he's made it very complex for us to comprehend.
Well, I mean, not to go into too much detail, I think he's under the influence of some people who think it's good.
Numerology.
Right? So it's a longer discussion, but all right, as long as he's happy. You know, did you see there were a couple of cricketers are now sitting with, as they say, nothing much to do. So you have people coming up with some interesting things to say. So I don't know if you saw Clark, he felt that, Kohli was not sledged enough. Because, probably a couple of Australian cricketers were worried about their IPL contracts and such. Did you have a chance to follow this?
A little bit. And did you hear Tim Payne's retort to that?
Not quite. What did Tim Payne have to say?
Oh, nothing really special. He just said that's not the way he planned to play anyway. And according to Tim Payne, if they sledged Kohli, it would have fired him up even more. Play against the Australians even better than he did. So I think that was in their strategy. And whatever Clark says, it doesn't matter anymore. He's no longer playing, right? I had huge respect for this guy. He's now becoming a gossip monger.
Look, he's a very strong-willed individual and a strongly opinion, I'm sure.
But it's just becoming more of a glamour thing, right? So it's adding more spiciness to all the news that's floating around, just like Kevin Peterson is doing these days. Mining some stories here and there, having a banter on Twitter with former players. Of course, people have nothing else to do now; they are trapped in their own homes. So they have to do something, and it's fine. Everybody is doing a tribute video of some sort these days. Did you catch a glimpse of? The Bollywood actors doing that. Also, our Sandalwood actors, Kannada film industry actors. Some singers.
A tribute on what? As in tribute on a cricketer or?
No, not a cricketer. People who are in the front line fighting against coronavirus.
Oh, nice.
So maybe the cricketers should also do something like that. Team up.
Indeed. Well, they can't meet each other, but they can do it from their homes, I think, with good editing.
Absolutely. Why not? They can.
So I saw a couple of interesting videos. I think there was a dance video from Shreyas Iyer along with his sister that somebody forwarded to me. And that was interesting. So, and then I stopped following all the forwards. But yeah, it's interesting, right? So you have to somehow do something to kill time. So why not that? But also offering your tribute to those that are on the front lines, that's a very nice gesture as well. Why not? But as you said, when it comes back to this, look, now he used to be a very aggressive batsman. Now he's an aggressive commentator. He's moved to the commentary box, right, Clark? So he has to do something to keep that going. So why not throw a few punches from there? So that's what he's doing. I think it's all right. And look, I think you have to be a bit scornful as a former cricketer, especially one who's played 100 tests and captained his country. I think he deserves a bit of a right for that. I think... plenty of not so successful cricketers have had more to say. So I'm not very surprised when he has something to say, him or KP, right? Both are former captains of the country as well as playing 100 tests. But all right. I mean, that doesn't make them any more special. But, well, at least in their own eyes, probably it does. So I can imagine they can come up with a few things to say, right?
You're talking about Australia and cricket. There is another big news. Did you hear?
I've heard a few.
doing rounds on social media. This is the next big thing.
Tell me.
David Warner gave himself a haircut.
Himself a haircut. Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Did you see that? it's. I'm just joking, but that is actually true.
No, I can imagine.
So people.
You know, it doesn't...
Because you can't go to a barber anymore until the restrictions are in place. So people are forced to do things. And there was another similar news, I think, Mr. Virat Kohli, his wife.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Anushka Sharma. The actress.
Apparently, she gave him a haircut. So there's a lot of news about haircut these days.
Well, I wonder if she would cut my hair as well. But maybe I have to go a few kilometers to get my haircut. So I'll skip that. But look... Yeah, I don't know if my roommates will want to cut my hair. It's worth asking. But all right, I might lose a few roommates. Maybe it's not worth asking. All in all, yeah, I need a haircut too. So I'm considering some celebrity hairdressers that I might want to. I'm making a short list already. So I'll make sure to add the actress Anushka Sharma also on it. Thanks for bringing it up.
Right. You're welcome.
Virat Kohli, you said, you know, we keep forgetting how much of an impact he's had on the cricketing world with his achievements as well as with his, you know, with his attitude and everything. So, you know, for 3 years in a row, Virat Kohli was the leading cricketer in the world as per the Wisden magazine. And for the first time in 3 years, he's been dethroned. And now Ben Stokes and Elise Perry have been named as the Wisden's leading cricketers of this year. Giri. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as we were speaking off air, it's absolutely right that... for all the achievements that he was able to do last year, Stokes being recognized was sort of due. Giri, don't you think?
Yeah. Absolutely. Starting from that incident at a nightclub.
Right.
So he has, if there was any doubt, he has absolutely redeemed himself. And he has won my heart. Because I thought he was a brash guy. He was... no good at, I mean, he had a lot of talent, of course, but he didn't have the right stuff between the ears, as they say. But I think he came back so strong. He won them the World Cup, and then he won them the Test match at Headingley. Even better than the World Cup, I think, for that. For me, that Test match at Headingley was probably the pinnacle of his career, but also one of the things that we will all remember for years to come, for decades to come. So he gave us those memories. Yeah, he has given us those memories, so he deserves to win it, I think. Absolutely. Hand over fist. He is the best guy at the moment.
It was a really special innings.
And well done to Wisden for electing him as a cricketer of the year. So
indeed. Well, when it comes to the women's cricket, again, there are no surprises that Elise Perry has been recognized for all her amazing you know, achievements over the years, especially in the year 2019-2020. So really well done her. So again, a very deserving, especially, you know, her achievements in the Ashes of 2019. I think it was fantastic. So all in all, both of them deserve it very thoroughly. So going further, well, some more news about David de Villiers, but again, it's about him being unsure about a World T20 comeback. The coach of the South African men's team, Mark Boucher, says probably there's a room or there's a space in the 11 for AB de Villiers, but AB de Villiers himself is unsure. And based on our earlier discussions, we don't know if maybe the train has passed him by because of the number of, let's say, chances he will get to, you know, show that he still has the stuff. Right? We'll see how that goes, really. It's a bit of... yeah, yes, no sort of a thing, and probably it'll be decided in the couple of months leading up to the World Cup. So I'm going to wait on that. At least I'm going to look to wait to reserve my judgment until then, Giri.
Yeah, let's wait. We have nothing else to do.
Indeed. So in other interesting news, Indian women's team have qualified for the T20 World Cup in 2021, right? And we are really hoping it'll go through. So in this case, they have qualified based on the points that they've earned from a series that's been split in terms of points against Pakistan. So this was supposed to happen in late 2019, and because of the ongoing conditions, the Indian women's team could not tour Pakistan for a T20 series, and as a result, the points have been split. So the Indian women's team have qualified. So interestingly, in the previous such occasion in 2016, they had, at least ICC technical committee had decided to give away all the points to Pakistan. But in this case, there are some other, let's say, mitigating circumstances they cite. So points have been split. So an interesting way, but congrats to the Indian women's team who made it to the T20 World Cup as well as the fourth ranked team, right? In another interesting news, star of our episodes, Umar Akmal, is found himself in the news yet again. We knew this was coming. So if you remember, he was pulled out of the PSL, this year's PSL, because of some alleged match and spot fixing allegations against him. So in this case, he had decided to opt against contesting the charges. So he skipped contesting them. So he's now waiting on the sentencing. And looks like the sentencing will happen on 27th April in Lahore's Gaddafi Stadium, where there are also offices. So he's basically thrown himself at the mercy of the people, the chairman of the disciplinary committee. And we hope, he might get a slightly lenient sentence. And so from what we can read, he might lose anywhere between 6 months of his career to a whole life ban. So we really don't know what is coming. So there were, two unrelated incidents on March 20th. Basically, it's about failing to disclose to the PCB about any approaches that were made. He himself did not do anything with respect to fixing or, but he did not report approaches. Those are equally serious things indeed. So let's see how that goes, because they have the such a precedent only a couple of years ago, where Nasir Jamshed's case was also adjudicated, and there were some leniency shown. So let's see how it goes. Moving further, so let's look at the trivia section. So the trivia question from the previous episode was, what were we talking about? So we gave this sequence, so left pad, right pad, box, one tap in the middle, and so on. And if you are a cricketing fan, you probably immediately recognize it. And there was one cricketing fan who actually came up with the answer to the question. Right, Giri? So what is the answer to the question again?
I actually picked this up by when I was watching my favorite series on Amazon.
Of course.
The Test. I hope you had a chance to watch this. Did you?
Well, unfortunately not. I'm still able to not overcome my diet of science fiction as well as my hatred of reality TV. It's both the three of things. But, well, I'm going to try, right? I'm going to try.
Yeah, but...
Mm-hmm. So, but...
Keep trying.
I'm going to try. Let's see, by next episode, at least I'll try to see if I can catch up with one or two episodes of The Test. But on Twitter, we have Jogendra Singh Shekhawat, who's given us the right answer. At least he's pointed in the right direction. He says it's Steve Smith. And I think when he says Steve Smith, I think it's obvious. It's the, he's hinting at the right thing. So congrats to Jogendra Singh Shekhawat. And thanks a lot for taking time to give us an answer to our trivia question. So we hope you do continue to listen to all our episodes. So him and all our fans, any of you who are interested, please do get in touch with us for the answer. So the trivia question for this episode is, which player holds the record for the most number of pairs in Test cricket? So this is a legendary player from the Southern Hemisphere. That's the clue we can give you. And he's fairly inept when it comes to batting. So if you these couple of things together, you know what's the answer to the question. So good luck with that. And do get in touch with us if you want to give us the answer. You could, as Mr. Jogendra Singh Shekhawat did here, you could get in touch via Twitter or leave it on the Facebook page, or you could leave it as a comment on any of the podcasting apps you use or on YouTube, right? Or if you want to also let us know how we're doing or any of your thoughts, please do let us know. For example, we recently did an episode with All the Balls podcast, or led by All the Balls podcast, where it was called a mega pod, where more than five or six cricketing podcasters got together and we had an hour's uninterrupted and uninhibited chat about cricket. So we are looking to do more of these. So I hope you guys do stay tuned in, right? So having said all that, it's a goodbye from me.
And it's a goodbye from him. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Armchair Cricket Podcast.